So we'll continue talking about the Patriots here. We'll keep them on the board, but we gotta throw the Red Sox in as well, because Dr. Lou shows up for work today, and I was absolutely shocked. He greets me with, you know what? I'm kind of feeling a little bit better about Price going on Sunday night.
Really? Yeah. Since when?
And I thought maybe I'd put the crown down. Just put the crown down.
Was it this morning or last night?
Today.
Oh, mm-hmm. He was drinking at work again, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Dr. Lou. Mm-hmm. So do me a favor. Try to tell me why you suddenly change your heart.
Well,
I'll
tell you this much. It's set up for him. You know, and as far as feeling better, you know, I think it's set up for him. The way he pitches, the way he throws, it's a question of executing. And I honestly think that I think he's incapable of pitching to that Yankee lineup. This is the biggest adjustment he needs to make next year. He needs to learn how to throw a fastball up and in. And he could use it on a few hitters in this one. I think Springer's one of them. You want to elevate up and in on. There's some other guys in those righties. But the Yankees, if you can't throw to that up and in area, I don't know if you can get through that lineup. You got to be really fine on the outer half. I mean, you got to mix it up and pitch, and he just couldn't locate. This lineup, I think he can. I think he can go down in on some guys. Not Bregman, you know, but I think with him, he can go back to a cutter. He can go with that changeup away. I think he's got to elevate up and away, which he's shown in the past that he can, and just live off that outer half against some of these righties.
So you're telling me this is a Yankee issue and not a postseason issue, and yet I'm looking at his game log here from the past, and he's not losing to the Yankees.
No, I never said that. I'm just saying the Yankees are an impossible matchup for him, the way he throws the baseball.
But how does that change the fact
there's
that
still history here.
The postseason becomes too big for him and he can't handle
no
it?
No question about it.
Oh, so the pressure hasn't changed.
The pressure
it's
hasn't
just,
changed.
It's just you think this is an easier lineup.
All I said was there's no excuses.
Okay.
Easier lineup. Because he can pitch to this lineup.
All right.
You know, he can pitch to these guys, whereas there's too many guys on that Yankee lineup. You had to pitch a certain way, and he hasn't shown that's part of his repertoire. Okay, and I think it matches better against this club here. Now, whether we can fix some of these things, because they can tell him all he wants. He's overthrowing. He's doing this. I mean, first pitch, fastball, he spiked in the ground. He's throwing his cutter 91.
Right.
So you can tell him the game plan. You can tell him what he's doing wrong. But if he spikes the first pitch and he's throwing a cutter 91, 92, throw it all out the window. All I'm saying is that it is set up for him. Absolutely no excuses to throw well against this lineup.
See,
this is not as dangerous as the New York Yankees. Not this year, maybe last year, but certainly not this year.
You may be right. And that may be the reason that Alex Cora has the faith to throw him out
there
on Sunday night.
The ballpark has a lot to do with it.
Yes.
Big right fielder, right? Fenway, short one in Houston, short everywhere except for center.
But we still don't have the answer of how is he suddenly going to dissipate all of this pressure out of his system and go out there and pitch like it's a normal game. You've seen it. Athletes, many athletes, they're just even keel. Tom Brady is even keel. Whatever game it is, even keel. There are certain guys that can play that way. Larry Bird, even keel.
Yeah,
great ones. He can't do that.
No.
So this becomes too big for him. And he can't handle it. How does he? So you still think that's an issue?
Oh, I still think it's an issue.
All right. So
I'm not saying it's not an issue, but
are we going pressure again, right?
Yeah.
See, it's funny because so Cora, I don't know if you guys saw this. Cora was talking about pressure. I think it was Drelic who actually asked him about it, about dealing
clutch.
With pressure. Clutch. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think it was clutch.
Do you have that real quick, Ryan?
Alex, in your many years in the various roles you've had, have you seen guys have trouble or deal with pressure, big spots in different ways? You know, somebody who's better in the clutch or whatever you want to call it than others. Like, is there a scale of that?
I don't know if there's a scale. I think it's just us just talking about it, you know. People have bad games and good games. You talk about, like in basketball, like LeBron James, you know, people have this two sides of LeBron James. Is he the greatest or he doesn't perform in the playoffs? LeBron James is a pretty good player, you know, and I really don't believe in stuff like that. I just believe that there's, you know, guys that execute, you know, and there's guys that don't. But as far as like clutch and showing up or not, I don't know. It's just same. It's the same thing. It's just a different spotlight, you know. Now everybody's watching. It's only two games a day, and everybody's paying attention. But I'm not a big believer of like. He's clutch, he's not clutch, or I don't believe in that.
Wow.
I'm surprised by that.
He's protecting him. We love Alex Cora. He's done a great job this year. That's dumb. That makes no sense.
No,
and
it does.
And you're bringing LeBron James into it?
It makes perfect sense.
How?
Because that's channeling Bill Belichick.
We're well aware of that.
If he comes out and says, yeah, I do believe in clutch, I think some guys can handle it better than others. What's the follow-up question?
Yeah, but Bill Belichick lies to everybody every day. So you're telling me that Alex is lying right now.
He squashes the follow-up. He doesn't answer it a certain way because he knows what's coming next.
I've already addressed that question.
If you believe in clutch, if you believe some guys can handle it and some can't, then David Price has a problem. So he's one of those guys that can't handle it, correct, Alex? You just said it yourself. So he knew where that question was going. Do you believe in clutch? Do you believe some guys can handle the pressure and some guys don't?
So he's lying.
He's being Bill Belichick.
Okay.
You don't think he believes it?
Makes no sense.
You don't think that Alex Cora believes there's something different with David Ortiz?
He has to.
No, David Ortiz?
Yes, that's clutch.
Of course he knows there's something different with David Ortiz. And some of the guys after just winning a World Series, he doesn't look at some of those guys and say, damn, Springer. Man, you come through in the clutch, bro.
That's clutch.
There's something about Bregman. Yeah. Damn.
Something about you.
You slow the game down. You're confident. You come through. I'll go to war with you any day of the week.
David Ortiz.
But he knew what the follow-up was, and he knew who they were trying to attack.
See, I don't know.
And he squashed it before it got
to it. I'll buy that, Lou, because Kerr's got to be careful. He can't go out there and fall victim to sitting there and saying, yeah, there might be something to this whole thing of the, you know, clutch, and maybe he's not a clutch player or whatever. If he does that, gets back to the player, and it makes it even worse. He's got a fragile pitcher pitching on Sunday night. It may be against a lineup that he can handle, Lou, but he's got a fragile guy.
Kind of forgot your question.
See, the guys that can't handle that situation are guys that, right, they panic, they let the pressure get to them, they understand, they start realizing how big the game is and how important it is.
They get overhyped themselves.
They get nervous, they get stressed out, and instead of just pitching and just throwing it, they get so worried about failing that they pitch tentative, or play tentative, whatever. It doesn't matter what sport it is. Or they defer. Or, you know, I don't want the pressure. You shoot it. No, you shoot it. And there's some guy in the corner saying, I want the shot, referring to basketball. Yeah. Or I want the pass. Or I can't wait to be in that position. It's about our guy talking about, you know, pressure being a privilege. Bregman. But Bregman talking about pressure being a privilege. Well, I can't wait to be in that situation.
The other thing, too, is that, you know, that and I know, like, Severino's probably not the best example in the world, but you look at his postseason last year in that first wild card game. How did he look? Not good, right?
First inning.
He got a second start, though.
And he was good.
Okay, so when you look at David Price's career, you know, the first start of his career, gave up 5 runs, came back, 6 innings, 3 runs. So I look at that year in 2015, because that's really the only other year he's had multiple starts. 2 years. He's only been you know, 2 starts in the postseason twice in his career. They've all been one and done.
Well, didn't Toronto take him out of the rotation?
They did because of the first start.
Yeah.
But then he came back in that next game that people talk a lot about in Kansas City when he had a one hitter going into the seventh. And it all collapsed. Okay. So that's a separate issue. But the point is that he had a one hitter going in the seventh. If he's got that Sunday, he ain't pitching the seventh. You know what I'm saying? So, or they're going to be really careful at that point. Then he came back and he threw 6 2/3. And gave up 3 on a couple of solo shots, his next outing. So once he's gotten that initial first start crapola out of the way and he's been given a second start, that's actually when he's thrown the ball well in his postseason career. Still hasn't won a game. But I'm not anticipating 2-3 innings anymore. I think he goes 5. I think he goes into the 6th. I just do.
Then if that's the case,
so then he would basically have the second best start out of any of the pitchers.
Christian, if that's
he would be because Eivaldi had the best one, right?
I would say Eivaldi.
Porcello
was just as good. If the score was 10-1, he would have went 7.
Yeah,
just as good. And Sale was good. So he had the worst.
But if that's the case, then he's between now and then going to unload these playoff jitters, because it's all about jitters. He's a great pitcher, not even a good pitcher. He's been a great pitcher in his career, and he was great at times during the regular season this year. It is simply the moment.
So the doctor has examined the patient, has done all the work, and the doctor, Dr. Lou, our very own resident doctor, has decided
that one and done.
David Price is cured.
I'm not buying it.
He's cured. I'm not buying it. What would you give him?
Are you buying it?
No, I'm not buying it. This is the same guy on Monday who said, just go away.
Hey, Lou.
There's no medicine I can give you. You're incurable. Sorry.
Play the game.
Suffer.
I play the game of by you on the mound ever.
Wait. Say it. Play it again, Ryan. Play it again.
Go away. I don't want to see you on the mound ever again.
Ever again?
Yeah.
What the hell happened in 4 days?
It's going to go Sunday. It's going to go 5+.
What the hell did you give him? What sort of elixir did you kind of mix up in your little lab How much glue have you been sniffing for you to believe that that's an okay thing?
I work with a guy that has taught me that you look at information and you have the right to change your mind.
Oh, who would that be?
There's a guy that I know.
The King Waffle himself?
When you get more info?
He's right, though. Lou's making a lot of sense.
Some breakfast shop should name a waffle after you.
This guy is scared shitless of it.
It's the same guy?
It's not flipping or flopping. It's when there's new information, you alter your opinion. What is wrong with that? I love these people who stay with the same opinion for years. It sucks. It blows. It will always suck.
You gotta alter
something. It will always blow. Can't do that.
Just like I
did. So I appreciate what he's doing.
After I saw what happened in New York in Game 3. I can't undersell that enough, what happened in Game 3 and Game 4 in New York.
See, the thing that surprises me,
after I saw Game 3, the doctor reevaluated and said, you know what? This team can do it.
No,
got over that hump, and then they won Game 4. So they just swept the Yankees?
If you were a real doctor, you'd be sued for malpractice. Yeah,
why is that?
Because you misdiagnosed this team. I'm the holistic doctor that
says,
I see this in you, young Padawan. I can see that you have it. You're like, Eastern Western medicine, blah, 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 blah.
There's the thing. As a doctor, I don't have all the resources. If I sat down with them Monday.
Oh, is that what it is?
And I psychoanalyzed them.
You guys belong
and
together.
And I talked to them.
Go get yourself a clinic.
And I went through their mindset and if I looked in their eyes.
Ah, that's what it is.
Then maybe I would have believed in them on Tuesday. But I didn't.
You didn't get to evaluate.
And what I saw on Tuesday, and then what I saw on Wednesday, or more importantly on Tuesday. People always talk about the MVP of the series, and it's like Alex Cora.
Yeah.
No, Nathan Eovaldi. I know Cora made all the calls. Nathan Eovaldi, after the feeling of that team going into after Game 2, walked into Yankee Stadium on Tuesday and shoved it straight up Keister. Okay? And I know they gave him a bunch of runs. But in that first inning, in that second inning, in that third inning, as they were building this lead, he shut that team down. That was huge. Same thing with Porcello, but more pressure on Eovaldi than Porcello.
You are now hypnotized.
So his analysis, of the difference of the lineup, of the Yankee lineup versus Houston lineup, makes all the sense in the world. And if the game were being played, this game were being played, or we were able to convince...
This lineup isn't as good as people say.
David, I agree. That if we were able to convince David Price that it's August the 13th...
It's good.
...and not October the 13th, I would feel pretty good. Lou's making sense. The problem is, like sabermetrics people, they look at all of the numbers, they look at pitch count, they look at this, they look at that, and they forget about this. They forget about heart, they forget about clutch, and players just wilt.
I see.
Under pressure.
I have more faith in my analysis and my reasoning of my analysis than I do Lou's.
What did
you
say?
I do, too. And you know nothing about baseball.
What is my analysis?
And
they are what?
Due.
They're due. He's due. Forget about it. If it happens. I don't know, but
I swear to God, if he wins on Sunday night, Christian's whole philosophy of the guy is simply due.
That's it.
That theory will make sense.
Yes,
we're going to have a really short show if that's what our analysis is
going to be.
Let's open up the phone lines. We'll get into some of this. Suddenly, Lou feels good about David Price on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Too much crown? Mm-hmm. Or is he making any sense? Mm-hmm. And we'll continue talking about the Patriots in Kansas City. Who's it more important for on Sunday night? It's 617-779-7937.
Chris, can you talk about David's start in Game 2 and overall just his struggles in the playoffs and how much confidence you guys have in him in Game 2?
Yeah, well, that last thing you said there is we still have the confidence in him. You know, we know who he is. He's been one of the best left-handed pitchers in this game for 10 years. Game 2 is behind us. We won that series, so that doesn't matter. We're facing the Houston Astros now, so I like his matchup against the Astros. Obviously, he's pitched well against them the last couple of years, and he was the only reason we had a chance last year in the playoffs. So against Houston, so I like where we're at.
All right, that's Chris Sale. I would be disappointed if Chris Sale didn't say that and back and support his teammate. He did exactly what he's supposed to do. I'm with my guy. And every player in that clubhouse should be doing the exact same thing. I'm with my guy. Matter of fact, they should be doing it even more so because this guy might be a little fragile. So if you've got all of the support of your teammates around you, it can only be a plus going into this game on Sunday. So that's Chris Sale on David Price.
Well, I told you yesterday. So last year, that lineup was better. Same name.
The Houston lineup.
Yes.
Yeah.
And of the starting nine that they rolled out there against you in pretty much these playoff games last year, They had seven guys with an OPS over 800. Right. Seven. And that's only because guys like, you know, Brian McCann, you know, had like a 759. You know, and other guys like Gattis with a 767. That's it. All right, but everybody was there. This year, they're going to feature two.
Korea's not the same
Bregman
player.
Bregman and Altuve.
Right.
You know, Gurriel, you know, different year.
Yep.
Good. I mean, I'm not saying they're not good hitters. They're good hitters. Marwin Gonzalez, you know, good hitter. Not the year he had last year when the OPS was over 900. Now he's 730. So they're good hitters. But this lineup is not as good as it was last year in the postseason, the one that you saw. You know, that lasting impression. That Yankee lineup is more dangerous than this lineup.
Yeah.
So
no, I'm not debating that. Matter of fact, I would even say Altuve was MVP last year. This year he'd be better at 315. Don't get me wrong, he had a terrific year. But I thought he was better last year than he's been this year.
He was better.
Yeah. So you can go up and down that lineup, and I'm in agreement with you that the Red Sox have a more potent offensive lineup than Houston does in
the
series.
Now, the one thing that could neutralize the strength of the Red Sox is when they traded for the Astros, traded for Martin Maldonado at the trade deadline. Dude's not much of a hitter. You know, he's a 230 hitter, whatever. But he, gold glove defender, and he throws the living hell out of it. And he throws out 40, 45% of the runners. They don't try to run on him.
Right.
He shuts down running games. So you better find a pitcher that's about a 1-4 to the dish if you think you're going to steal a bat. 1-4 plus if you think you're going to steal a bat.
He's no Gary Sanchez.
No.
No,
no, he's going to be tough to run on.
All right, let's get to the phone calls. Joe's in a car here on OMF. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Joe.
What's going on? I think Sunday night, if there was ever going to be a time for David Price to finally get the monkey off his back, it's going to be Sunday night.
Agreed.
And the only reason why I say this is because I think the only difference in this game, as opposed to all the other games you ever pitched in the playoffs, is there is not one person with a shred of confidence out there that he's going to pitch well. Like, before, you always had that little, like, maybe in the back of your mind, like, oh, he might, you know, he might pull it together. I've never seen anything like it. Like, you look around, not one person thinks he's going to pitch well. So I think if Cora takes a little bit of a Belichick, you know, standpoint on it and, you know, he just gives him the bulletin board material and says, look at all these people out here that say that you basically are a complete, you know, you suck.
Oh, I'm not sure that works.
I think that's a bad approach.
Yeah, I'm not sure that works.
All these people reminding you you've sucked your whole career.
But I'm saying they're telling them that they can take some bum off the street.
Hey, Joe, when we talk about clutch players and guys that just have balls, they are the ones that react well to when you put bulletin board material and say, hey, the other guys think you're terrible. They think you suck. You can't do it. All right? Those are the guys. The guys that have balls are the guys that go out there and say, screw them. All right? That's David Ortiz. That's Larry Bird. That's Tom Brady. Those are those type of players.
Yeah.
The guys
put that up there for them.
The guys that wilt in great moments, and he's wilted in most of these 10 starts that he's had in the postseason. You don't want to take them down that road.
Yeah, balls are balls.
Yeah, balls are balls.
I think you got to do something. I think if you pitch,
it's not the right approach.
That's better than him pitching scared. So that's all I
got
to say.
Yeah, I think you build them up. I think that Chris Sale's got the right approach. He's great. We wouldn't have even been there with the Houston.
Well, but he's right, though. Yeah. I mean, maybe they still would have been in the playoffs if he wasn't there, but he's right.
He went 4 scoreless in game 3 that they won. The one game they won.
Yeah.
Out of the bullpen.
Yeah, it was terrific.
I mean, he's right. He's absolutely right. They're all saying the right thing. Of course they're going to say the right thing. And so David Price is going to surprise you.
Have we built this up too much? Because I keep sitting there and I go back to Cora. I'm like, the guy knows what he's doing, right? You're not going to sit there and go, God, this guy's not just randomly taking a chance because he owes David Price a favor,
it's
right?
It's not happening.
His job is to use David Price and get the most out of him and put him in the best situation for him to win,
no,
right?
He said it yesterday. He believes in him. He's not doing it to...
I know, but I just can't believe in you because we're buddies, right? Because I would believe in you. Yeah, we're friends. Like, I'm going to believe in you. Yeah, you could do it. But I got to be honest with myself, right? Because I can't put you in that... I can't put myself in that position.
We believe in... they're going to just
Based on hard data. It's based on analysis. It's based on those guys crunching all the numbers and him knowing. I don't think we can look past that. I don't think we give it enough credit. How well he knows that team.
To use the last.
How well he knows the other manager sitting in the other dugout.
But he's been saying this about Price all the way along. He said it before he pitched in the Yankee series. He talked about
we
it
all have
the
our nemesis, right? We all have that, right? You okay. have yours. Right. It's food. You can never. Yes. We all have it. His
what is,
crown.
What is yours?
His is crown.
What is yours?
I don't have any.
Oh, yes, sir.
I don't have
tequila.
Any.
Tequila.
So tequila. All right, I'll give it tequila.
So full of
what? We all have them. We have all those things that we can't say no to.
I don't know how much that's going to play into it, though. His knowledge of Houston.
I don't either.
You know,
really?
Like,
why not?
Because I just.
Wait, Matt Patricia? You think that had anything to do with his ability to win?
I think that.
That's a lot to do
I
with
think
this.
Alex's knowledge of when he was in Houston and how they looked at Boston helped this team this year, helped the Red Sox this year. Like when he walked into spring training and said, you guys are too predictable. Mookie, you're taking pitches left and right. Same thing with you, Xander. Same thing with you, Brock.
We're well aware of that.
And by the way, David, you pitched in only one zone. And you did too, by the way, Chris. You know, so I think early on in the year, he went to all these guys and said, this is how we got you out. This is how teams are going to attack you because we did. And now they're going to follow suit. So we got to change this up. We got to change that up. So now he can go to those guys and he can look at them and say, I know how to get Correa out. He's not the same hitter. You know, he's different. Bregman took it to another level. So he might have an idea, but just like Mookie's different now than he was a year ago, I think these guys are as well. So I think he has his scouting reports out there, and I'm sure he's curious. I'm sure he has a little bit of extra knowledge just from being around them. But I think players have changed.
All right, since you brought
I feel like that's downplaying it.
But you're talking about schemes with Patricia.
No,
you know, like
no,
what they
I'm
like
talk,
to do.
I'm talking about also just personality. I think personality, okay, this guy's in this situation, right? Now I remember having a talk with him, like thinking about, you know, Cora talking about anyone on that roster that he had
right.
some sort of relationship, some interaction with. Man, I know he hates these types of situations. If you talk about his mother, say this, okay? Once when he was young, he did this. That's the type of information.
But listen, the kind of stuff where you're like, okay, this guy comes out of the bullpen, and first pitch, he goes breaking ball every time. That kind of knowledge you already have.
You already have, yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, like Bregman, you know, scoring position, he sits soft. You know, early in counts. They probably already have that stuff. You know, or he cheats in on certain. They already have that. You know what I mean? So they already have so much. Can he add a little bit? Yes. But I don't think it's to the extent of Core knows how to pitch these guys. Yeah. Normal scouting reports. You might know a little bit more information, but I think it might be overblown.
Since you brought
him. But I also think that, okay, so sure. But I think there's a scouting report that some dude has given you.
Yeah.
And then there's real firsthand, you know, boots on the ground knowledge. Okay. I'm not going to look at this stat. Because I know by sitting with this guy on the bus or playing cards with him on the back of a plane, I know exactly
how
it
is.
I'm not sure you're going to get a lot out of that.
I'll tell you how it might.
I think it's a lot there.
Well, no. I'll tell you this, how it might come into play, right? Because you know they've been scouting Houston now, you know, pretty much all year. But the last month or two is when they send a scout to each team that's going to be in the postseason and watch them, you know? So the guy that went to watch Houston, who watched them for the last 2 months, who's got a detailed scouting report from everything. Right, to the point where the pitcher on the mound is a timer. Most times out of not, you know, come set, 1,001, 1,002, delivers. So you could see, you know, that type of knowledge to where another guy takes off to steal second because they don't believe they can run on Maldonado, but they're running that pitcher because they got his count. They can time it out. Alex may go to that guy who's watching Houston and say, listen, look for this, look for this, look for this, look for this. I want to know if they're still doing this, if they're still doing this, or if they've changed that. These are the things to look for. So that's where it might have helped a guy that's watching Houston for the last month or two.
Here's a guy that needs to come up big in this next series, this next round. It's Mookie Betts. He's got to be that MVP player that he was all year long. It was not a good series for him. This was not a good series.
Game three was good.
Yeah, that was. But he's got to be better than that against this lineup. He's got to be better than that.
I want to see Saturday night first pitch heater from Verlander, and I want to see Mookie swing. I don't care if he fouls it off. I don't care if he gets out.
Deep fly ball to the the warning track is fine.
It goes against the whole predetermined. So to that point, in his mind, I'm hitting this first pitch. I'm hitting this first pitch ball. Okay, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, not like, okay, it's first pitch of the series. Let me just take it and see what happens. We'll get into the series a little bit. Get into my bat a little bit. No. No, because you didn't see that against Severino. First pitch heater, 405 dead center. You're out. But it set a tone for the entire game.
He needs to have a big series. Ryan is in Cambridge next up here on OMF. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
What's up, Ryan?
Good, man. I think I might have called before a while back. I'm primarily focused on football, but I did want to say real quick, The Houston Astros, they should.
Astros.
I think they might have, oh, yeah. I know it's funny. It's that. No,
I hate those.
But honestly, I think that they could actually put up some good fights. So I wouldn't count them out. I mean, I don't know what it is they're going to do exactly. But, I mean, if the funny thing is, whenever you've got, like, such a tough team like us right now, you know, the Red Sox, and you've got a team that kind of is under the gun, let's say them in this case, because, you know, we destroyed the Yankees, and they're already tougher. But I wouldn't count out some kind of reverse, you know, psychology and stuff like that. So it could be interesting, you know.
Okay.
Football. Aside from that, Andy Reid, horrible coach. I know we're going to be playing him, and he's going to give us a tough game, maybe, maybe not. But he doesn't belong in the playoffs because he never gets there. I got to say, I'm just saying that right now because I know we're playing them, so we should have that one in the bucket. But if, you know, I don't think we'll see him in the playoffs. If we do, it's not because of him. It's because of that quarterback you guys are talking about.
All right, horrible coach may be a stretch. Good looking dude, by the way. He's a very good looking dude. So don't knock the appearance.
Like I just
okay,
think
he's a guy who I
think he looks like you.
Does great. I didn't say that. No, I don't think he looks anything like me. I mean, the preparation he has, I think, is tremendous. Christian was talking about how he scripts the first 15 plays, and you can kind of see what they do. Where Andy Reid runs into trouble is he's terrible in the two-minute drill when you're coming into the half, and his clock management sucks at the end of games. Sucks.
Yeah, now I'm seeing your point. Now I'm seeing why he's struggling. Okay, I'm going to study him a little bit more.
Do so. Study him and get back to us. Thank you, Ron.
Get this film.
Yeah. I like it when they study. I like it when they go back to study and then come back and then scroll. I like that.
All 22.
That's good. All right. Quick break. We're right back at you right here on OMF. All right. Patriots injury report is out. Out of the game for Sunday night? Nobody. Doubtful for the game on Sunday night? Nobody. Wow. They have some questionables. Mm-hmm. Limited participation in practice. Malcolm Brown, Josh Gordon, Grissom, Gronk, Hogan, Michelle, Rowe, Sheldon, and Simon. They are questionable with limited participation.
Chris Hogan's new, right?
Chris Hogan went on yesterday, and he did not practice yesterday.
Yeah.
Thigh injury.
Never good when you come up late, right, in the middle of the week?
Right. All right, we were talking about Julian Edelman and the difference Julian Edelman makes with the Patriots when he's in the lineup, and then you have Gronk and you have Edelman, and we could see how it unfolded here in the last couple of weeks. So thanks to our buddy over at Boston Sports Info, an interesting stat. Julian Edelman and Tom Brady have combined to play 36 home games here at Gillette Stadium against AFC opponents. How many games do you think they have lost when both guys have played together at Gillette Stadium against AFC opponents?
14.
They've lost 14?
No, you're an idiot. How many have they lost?
How many have they lost in the last 10 years?
They lost what?
Two.
36 games now. This goes back quite a few years.
Okay, so they've played 36 games against AFC teams. How many games have they lost against?
Regular season games.
Lost the game to an AFC opponent.
Two.
Let me see if they're...
They're regular season games.
They're regular season.
Get your stats right.
Yeah. They're undefeated.
Regular season games. They're undefeated.
They're undefeated.
They've never lost. Okay.
36. Yeah. No, because they lost a couple of games. Yeah. They lost to Baltimore, and I think they lost to the Jets, maybe. 36-0
against AFC opponents when the two of them play together. Let's go to Peter in New Hampshire.
I don't give a about numbers.
I'll go
about numbers.
Hello, Peter.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to call up about Gronkowski, you know. And Kelsey, you know, Gronk's being double covered the whole time. And Kelsey's been, you know, they've been breaking coverage on him. And, you know, he's not being covered as hard as Gronk. So how can you compare the two?
You're saying that, I'm not going to compare the two. I think Gronk is the better player. So
well, he does more. The blocking is a big part of it.
Okay.
He's a true tight end.
Take out the blocking. Who's tougher to cover? Take out the fact that Kelsey doesn't want to block and is not going to block anybody.
Kelsey.
Who's the better? You think you'd still pick Kelsey?
Well, I mean, I think that I even heard Rodney Harrison talking about this. Yeah, if he's a safety, he'd be a tougher guy to cover because of route trees, and he's quicker. He's just faster than Gronk.
But Gronk's
bigger, physical, so it's which one do you want? I mean, are you like a you know, who are you going to put on? Are you going to put on a fast corner? Then I would say he might struggle with Gronk because he'd just be too physical. But if you put a slow, big, you know, safety that's slow.
People are losing their mind when they start evaluating Gronk. It's like everything that Kelsey does or that he has done.
Who's quicker?
It's I don't know. Can we get a three cone drill?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. Like, it's just, and if Kelce is quicker, like, how much quicker is he really?
I was just going to say that.
Like, I mean, honestly, does it make that big of a difference?
I think he makes guys miss. I think Gronk runs over them.
I think Gronk does both.
Well, I
don't know. I think
Mike Lombardi started this, and I think he was totally wrong a couple weeks ago. It had everything to do with the double coverage on Gronk. But Gronk has not slowed down. Okay, Kelce might be a half step quicker, but I think Christian's right. At the line of scrimmage, who do you feel is the guy you can get the ball to the most, Gronk or Kelce?
Well, Gronk's more physical.
There you go. So if you're being physical and you're trying to, you know, limit, you know, his route, I think Gronk has the advantage there. I mean, no putting down Kelce. He's terrific, but it's 1 and 1A.
Yeah.
Not much difference between the two.
Yeah, I just – personality, I think they're really similar. You know, you see
they both like doing TV.
I tell you what, the thing is that with Kelce, what they do, they give him a lot of different creative ways. Like, I felt like they used to give Gronk some creative ways of catching the ball. They don't do that anymore. With Kelce, he'll run a shovel trap, like a tight end shovel trap pass. He'll run a quick hitch from a bunch formation. He'll do a ton of stuff. They don't do that as much with Gronk anymore.
Ryan is in New Hampshire. Next up here in EEI. Ryan?
What's up, fellas?
How are
good.
You?
Good. I love a good conspiracy theory, so here you go.
Okay.
I think Alex Cora is running David Price out there in leverage situations at home so he can let the Boston fans chase him out of here.
Ooh. Ooh.
That's what I think. So he's here for 3 or 4 more years anyway. He knows that contract's going to hamstring what they're trying to do.
Ooh.
Let the fans chase him out.
So then this would be a Dave Dombrowski call, not really Alex. He'd be forcing him to so he can get out of the contract.
Ooh, even a better conspiracy. Mm.
Are you guys
the core's not managing this team. Dombrowski is. Yeah.
Okay,
so
thank you.
The money he ties up and the guys that are coming up, he knows that his window for the next few years is the guys that are coming, they're going to be coming up and need to be signed, and that contract's going to keep them handcuffed.
I think
Price is sensitive enough to run for the hills.
Okay. I just don't believe that Alex Cora is doing it for that reason. It just makes no sense.
He's not doing it because Dombrowski's making him do it. He's not doing it because John Henry's making him do it. He's not doing it because he's afraid to lose the locker room. This is hard to believe for most, but he's doing it because he thinks he's going to throw the ball well. That's hard to believe, but he's doing it because he thinks he's going to throw the ball well.
Well, he better be right, especially if they lose game one tomorrow night. Because if you lose game one, let's say you lose in a close game one, Verlander simply, you know, pitches better than Sale does. And then you go to game two, and you lose game two, and the next three are in Houston, good night. You're in serious trouble
at
that point, right?
Could be.
Unless you're looking back at 04 and suddenly say, well, we can get down three.
He went to New York and won two straight. I bet you this team feels like they can go in there.
Can we let this KC fan clear some things up real quick?
Let's go to Kevin in Providence. Hi, Kevin. Kevin, go ahead.
Go ahead, Kevin. You want to clear some things up.
Speak up.
Good point.
Excellent point.
See, Christian, why do you do this?
Why do you go to the phone?
What?
Why do you do this?
Do you notice when I go to the phones, everything works out?
Every time you call for a caller, something happens to them.
They get nervous.
Every time.
You know what it is?
You're intimidating. You're intimidating.
I know. I have intimidating voice.
Hello.
I don't know what it is. You sit there and people sit there. Plus, I'm nice. Guy's was holding on for like an hour.
And look.
The guy was not holding
on Glenn
at least an
him.
Hour.
Glenn
I think that's what it is. I think you're talking about conspiracy theories. That's what it is.
That's why 4 hours with Fourier failed miserably.
Actually, I was just talking to Ryan. You know, we had a little meeting, and we Ryan and I always go over, you know, all the subjects.
I'm going to listen to it this
and
week.
And we look at, what time are you on this week? When Christian was, generating a topic, a 4 hours, a Fourier topic, it rates like through the roof, right, Ryan?
Oh, incredible.
It's insane.
Glenn, you wouldn't believe the numbers.
It's like
that's why I'm not even going to tell you.
So this is what I'm going to do this week.
Ryan hasn't learned how to read the numbers yet.
Sunday night's first pitch is 7:09.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes I get there, do the pregame at 6, but before that,
4 hours with Fourier.
5 to 6 or so is like a dead time. Right. So I'm going to bring my little headphones.
No, you're not going to hear
us.
What
time do you go on? You go on at 5?
It's a different. It's at 9.
Yeah.
It's at 9.
9 a.m.?
Yeah.
So you'll be on at 9 a.m. Sunday?
Oh, perfect. Then I'll listen at 9 a.m.
You'll
be
on Sunday at 9 a.m.
4 hours of Fourier.
We'll record that, Ryan, and we'll play some of the excerpts of that on Monday.
I'll email it to you guys.
Yeah, just, you know what? Just tweet it out and just add a link to it. Just do that. That'll be better. Yeah. You good with that? You're on late tonight, late Sunday night, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tune in.
There's a difference between what I'm going to do on Sunday and what you're going to do on Sunday. I will actually be there.
All right, go back to Kevin.
Here, yeah, go ahead.
Kevin.
Jesus, where's Kevin?
Kevin
in Providence.
I knew Kevin, he wouldn't give up.
Kevin, speak up this
Kevin,
time,
don't
please.
Let me down, Kevin. Kevin, some things up.
I'm right here, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I got bumped off.
No, you did, but go ahead.
Okay. So a couple of things. Travis Kelce is the best tight end in football. Now, Rob Mankiewicz, I'm sure Gronkowski has his challenges, too. There's people that he might have a hard time blocking, and I'm pretty sure that he would confess to that. But quite frankly, Kelce's been on the field much longer, hasn't been hurt. He has more catches. He has more receiving yards. And quite frankly, I think there was a time when the Patriots had a quarterback in position. He got hurt, and a young guy took over. Same team. They just put in a young guy, and next thing you know, they went on to win many Super Bowls, and that young guy was Tom Brady. Same things with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You know, Patrick Mahomes was hand-selected.
He's won five games.
And yep. He went into Denver and won last year. He's gone to Steelers and won. He's beaten the Jaguars.
Five games.
In Denver again in Denver.
Six games. I gave him one for last year.
Yep. He's good.
Hello?
He's good.
Yeah. So you're predicting.
By the way, they didn't have him last year.
No?
Kareem Hunt was the guy that did it to the Patriots last year.
That's correct. We remember that. After he fumbled on the first possession. Yeah, we remember.
And they still do have him.
They do?
He's played a lot better. Right? And the Chiefs hold one record that's very important on defense.
What is that?
They are number one on third downs. They have held most opponents to three and out.
Right.
Or hold them on a third down conversion than any
you know,
other team.
You know why? Wait, you know why, right? Because in first and second down, teams are moving the ball.
How's they
don't get to third down.
How's the New England pass rush doing?
Good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think they'll be able to handle Patrick Mahomes?
Kevin, how do you feel about, like, ripping the Patriots right now, the organization?
I'm
just saying, like, given the world that we live in, you know, they're kind of successful, and you're like, what? Patriots can't win. They suck. The pass rush blows.
They're 5-0, and they think they've won the championship.
Do you realize that every week we take calls from people like you on the other team, and it just doesn't end well, usually?
Especially in Pittsburgh.
I love Tom Brady. I love Gronkowski.
Okay.
I do. But Tom Brady, I mean, it's the best quarterback that ever played the game. There's no doubt about it.
Well, Mahomes isn't really sure who the greatest quarterback is, actually. He's like, he could be one of the greatest. I guess he thinks Joe Montana is still in the race.
But anyways.
Kevin, good for you. Good luck.
Yeah, hey, good luck to you guys.
Oh, yeah, you felt it. It's real sincere. Yeah, it wasn't sincere at all.
I know he's going to be excited.
That was a good call. You're welcome.
He didn't make a great case, though.
You're welcome.
He didn't make a great case.
No, it was just dude.
I mean, he's basically comparing Mahomes to Brady because he took over for an older quarterback, right?
It's better than all the patients that want to call up and talk to the doctor.
You know what we need right now? We need a good call.
I see one. I see somebody who wants to talk to the doctor.
Doctor's checking in. Yeah, a couple hours left.
Here's Chris in the truck. Dr. Lou. Hello,
how
Chris.
Can I help you today, Chris?
How you guys doing?
How can I help you?
Dr. Lou.
Yes.
You could help me. I had a question.
Talk to me.
How much do these guys get paid in bonus money? Like, what would David Price make in bonus money for when he pitches this Sunday night? And
it doesn't. It works when you lose. That's what you get. That money. If you lose in the ALCS, you get a certain amount. Lose in a World Series, you get a certain amount.
I guess what I'm getting at is, if my boss asks me, "Hey, can you come in on Saturday?" I don't want to come in on Saturday unless I'm getting paid time and a half and overtime and everything.
Chris,
I think he just says, "You know what? We're in the postseason. I got my $31 million. I don't have to show up to play.
I'm not making any
extra money."
Dr. Lou.
If they lose this series, they'll make about $135,000 each. Now, granted, the guy gets paid, I don't know, $2.5 million every 2 weeks.
Every time
during the season,
game, he gets a couple million. Yeah.
Sure,
this is gas money.
Yeah,
he's taking a pay cut to pitch and get booed out on Sunday night if he does bad. You know, maybe he's just saying, "Forget it. I really don't care."
No, trust me, the young kids in it. Young kids.
Chris, do you really believe the playoff share is a factor? I would say for the clubhouse guys and for the young players, it's a factor. But the guys that are making $31 million are going to sit there and fret over $140,000 versus $200,000. No, after they pay taxes, what's a $30,000 difference? What are we talking about?
I'll tell you this much: if you based it on last year, like if they had lost to the Yankees, you make about $40,000. you know, 35. If you lose to the Astros, they'll make about 135. If they get to the World Series, they'll make about 250. And they if they lose, and if they win, it'll be about 450. On average, 400 these days.
That was a weak call for the doctor. Yeah. I thought
then
he
you
used
doctor. From sleepy time, you will no sleepy longer time. Be zany, huh?
Yeah. It's a weak call for the old doctor.
So if he doesn't make $1 million per start, he ain't showing up.
Please,
is that his theory?
Please, please, please. All right, more phone calls coming up at 617-779-7937. We'll find out at 4:30 who Mike Lombardi thinks is the quickest tight end. Is it Gronk? Is it Kelsey? We'll get into that.